You know what's true about this world? We like to celebrate flashy things. But what about courage? What about bravery? What about suffering? This is the place we give credit to what often goes unseen. This is the place we honor choosing grit.
Ready?
No.
Hey, everybody. Carrie here. It's been a while. Good to be back. Between starting a new job and some other changes I've been facing, kind of put this project on the back burner for a bit, sadly. But cheers to working at a school and having summers off. So I've been super grateful to have a little more time to get back into this recently. Potential minisode maybe coming soon on the whole work transition, etc. But today, super excited to introduce you all to my good friend and currently my roommate, Amanda Fahrendorf. So Amanda and I had this conversation almost a year ago now, again, put this project on the back burner for a little bit, last fall when we had just become roommates. And it's funny, now we've now gone through a COVID winter together, and I feel like we're a lot closer now. But nonetheless, this is a really great conversation we had about a summer Amanda spent, it would be two summers ago now, a summer she spent on mission in Honduras. This idea of being a missionary, being on mission, especially in a different country, was something that was really, had been really appealing for Amanda for a while throughout all of high school, college. And she always kind of imagined herself thriving in that kind of a role. Like, this is what she was created for. This is the epitome of what I'm about, etc. However, as you'll hear, when the time came for that to actually become a reality, it was something that took a lot of grit. It was humbling, to say the least, for her. Amanda's a really, she's a very deep and wise person. And you'll also hear her mention, for most of her life, because of blessings she was given and the position that she was in, Amanda worked hard and things really worked out for her. She got a prestigious scholarship. She was president of like a zillion things. So when the time came for this mission trip, she kind of expected the same. However, to her, in reality, it felt like failure after failure. So as you'll hear in this episode, we jump pretty quickly to the hard. And upon reflection, and of course, right before we had this conversation, Amanda had beautiful pictures to share. And now, today, and at the, like, at the time of this conversation, she can look back and really say that this experience was good and good for her. However, at the moment, while she was doing it, she very soon doubted why she had even done it in the first place. I think you'll love hearing from her. I think you'll love her stories, particularly of one day when she was teaching kindergarten and turned around and her entire class was gone. And she had to go to the teacher next door and ask if she had seen her students. Another when she slept with spiders. A lot of stories that we can laugh about now, but at the time really, really were really, really challenging to experience. And also, it's her birthday today. I've realized that's my new favorite thing, is publishing my friends' podcast episodes on their birthdays. So if you see her, if you know Amanda and you see her this week, be sure to wish her happy birthday. With that, I'm going to let you meet her and hear from her yourself. Enjoy.
Hey, lady.
Roommate.
Hey, roomie.
Okay, so usually we start off with some sort of icebreaker to get to know you. But
you went on a big canoe trip this summer. I'm looking at your sweatshirt.
Yeah, Boundary Waters.
You did it.
I did it. Yeah, the highlight of my summer.
And it wasn't your first time backpacking exactly?
No. So I like have gone backpacking before with a group of way more experienced people in Canada for about 2 weeks.
Cool.
But this was the first. And this wasn't exactly backpacking because it was mostly canoeing, but it was still like, it was the first trip I went on where like there wasn't somebody more experienced with me on the trip.
Mm-hmm,
and so I picked my friend Amy from high school to go backpacking with me. And it was really funny because I was under this assumption that she also had gone backpacking before. And then on the drive up there, probably like 5 hours into the trip, I like was like, yeah, like I'm so glad that like I've gone backpacking. And she was like, that's great. I've never done anything like this before.
Oh man.
And I had this moment of like, crap, I am the most experienced person on this trip.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was so great.
That's so cool. How many miles did you end up canoeing?
33 in the span of like 3 days. So basically we did 10 miles a day, which we calculated was like 5 to 6 hours straight of canoeing.
Wow.
The water is gorgeous, like super clear and very like still and quiet.
Yeah.
And so you would just canoe for hours and like not hear anything other than just like the wind or like a bird. So like I was reflecting on this after we came back, and both her and I had just like had really intense quarantines for different reasons, like with me working at the River West Food Pantry and she was working at the clinic in Ohio, that like both of us were like, we just need a break. And so when we went on this trip and like nothing bad happened and we came back and we were like,
that's awesome.
That was the best. That's exactly what we needed. Nothing exciting happened. Nothing bad happened. It was just 75 degree weather, like sunny the whole time. And we just canoed and slept.
That's great.
It was very, very peaceful.
I think you know this, and we also just talked about it, but the definition of grit is courage, resolve, and strength of character. And you definitely are a person of grit. You challenge yourself and you just have definitely have that in you. But I know a big part of your story and a season that really asked a lot of grit of you is the summer you spent. So it would have been a year ago about.
Yeah. Now, a year ago, I would have come like been back
after you finished undergrad, your summer in Honduras. Tell us what led you to go there in the first place and what did you do?
Yeah. So I think that ever since I can remember, I've always had like a passion for serving the poor and like wanting to be in other people's grit, I suppose, and the nitty gritty of that. And in my head for a long time, what that meant is that I had to go to an impoverished country to like be with the poor. I like had to go overseas and I had to do something very dramatic to be able to do that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to help people. And so that like had always been on my brain. And so I had tried doing a smaller mission trip earlier in my college like career. And I like really enjoyed it. But I like it was only for like a week. So it was like not really a missionary experience. And so when I was coming up on college, like the end of my college career and graduation, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do next, I like felt like very much that I wanted to fully be and live in another country and like be a missionary to like the fullest extent, recognizing that I might not be able to do that like later in my life. And so that was like a discernment process. When I got a job offer at the West Food Pantry, I decided that it would still be beneficial for me to like accept the job offer. But then I just asked to start later and do a missionary summer. In Honduras, which is how I ended up there for a summer. Yeah, which is like, in looking back, was like a real blessing that I was able to do it that way. So I and the organization I was with, basically it was like a children's home for children all the way up to age 18 that had experienced significant trauma in their lives or were like basically abandoned. And so their homes were not safe either because of like the cartel that was down there, other experiences or just like neglect in their home. And so they lived there, but also this organization had a clinic that you could like work at or a school that also like taught the children in the surrounding communities. I lived there with about 8 other missionaries, including myself. And then on the actual like campus, there were, I think about 12 like kids that lived there and I like lived in community with them. And so the kids that lived there actually were all at the time I was there, there's only 12 of them between the ages of 14 and 18. But my actual job there, when I wasn't just being in community and being like a missionary in that regards, was I was a kinder teacher. So then I taught 8 rambunctious 6-year-olds and 5-year-olds.
And tell me what, I think you said they told you this in training. What was your main responsibility?
Yeah. So I think like for those that have traveled abroad, there's just a different, especially in like more developing countries, there's just a different expectation of like behavior in the classroom, like what you're supposed to be teaching and things like that. And so I remember like being geared up for this idea of like what my perception of kindergarten would be like. And I remember the principal sitting down with me and she looked me square in the eye and was like, Amanda, your only job is to teach them how to sit down.
Uh-huh.
She was like, that's your goal. Your goal is to get them to understand the classroom. If they learn nothing else this year, it doesn't matter. They've never been in a classroom before. They have no idea what behavioral expectations are. She was just like, that's it. That's your goal.
That was your main goal.
That was my main goal. One time I was like teaching at the whiteboard and, or we had, sorry, a chalkboard. And I was turned around for like probably about 2 seconds to like write something. Mm-hmm. And I turned back around and like all my students were gone. And I was just like, I just stood there and I was like, you're kidding me. One girl asked to go to the bathroom and I said no. And I turned around and then they decided that like if that one girl can't go to the bathroom, they all should go. So then they all left to go to the bathroom, which is like way outside the classroom. Mm. And then it was like, okay. Another like favorite example that I tell, I like asked a girl a question and all of a sudden one girl jumped on another girl with a marker and started drawing in her face. So then I was trying to tend to that. And at the same time, another one of my students climbed up on the bookshelf from across the room and yelled, "Profe, catch me!" And then launched himself into the air, of which like he actually thought I was going to catch him despite the fact I was across the room. And I knew that he was going to just hit the floor if I didn't get over there. So I like threw some chairs to the side, like ran across the room, caught him just in time to put him down right as another girl. Oh, so I'm holding him and then a girl comes up to me with like something in her mouth. And so I take it out and it was like my teaching stick, which I had dropped and like trying to run across the classroom. And then a girl gave me a broken CD at the same exact time. And I have no idea where the CD came from or why she had it. And I just stood there while all this chaos was going on. And I was just like, this is teaching kindergarten in Honduras right here. This is it.
That story.
I cannot describe it any better than that.
That's a great story. So obviously different language and you had never taught before and the kids were not used to being in that kind of environment.
Oh yeah.
So you pretty quickly felt unequipped to do the work and it almost immediately it seemed to be not what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Within like the first couple of days.
Yeah. It wasn't just like my role and my job that I had been like assigned there, but it was a lot of in the like everyday encounters. Like, let me tell you about like the worst day I had in Honduras, basically. For me, like I was not, looking back, I was not giving myself the grace of like, this is a new thing. It's like, okay that like you're experiencing things slower than others and things like that. But I would like wake up and immediately like the heat and the humidity was really intense. So like my body was still adjusting. So like physically, it was just like exhausting to wake up and being like, I'm still sweating. Like I never stopped sweating. And then I would get up and change. And then we would go to morning prayer. I could go on a tangent about like what it, the like purpose of being a missionary, especially a temporary one in someone's life and the like possible damage that can do. But to a lot of the community there, the like stable Honduran community, I was just another white girl that was there for the summer and then was going to leave and not come back. So it was like, so walking in late to prayer, right? You're like, that girl's late again. And for some reason, a Honduras, not everywhere, but like this particular community, they would like call out people to read. And so it was always awesome. Like the worst day started off that way. I'm like, don't know what page we're on. And then someone calls my name. So I'm supposed to be saying prayer right now in Spanish. I have literally no idea where we are. And because I sat in the back, I'm not close to anyone that can help me. So I have to like walk across the church and like ask somebody in bad Spanish, like, I don't know where we are, and try to read through. And then immediately after prayer, then I would run back to the mission house, grab everything I needed, and I would start kindergarten. And then like if the class got really bad, then I had to go to another teacher and be like, I can't do this anymore. I need help.
And you had to do that.
And I had to do that.
Yeah.
Or I would have to leave the classroom because I was so mentally exhausted. And I was like, I cannot deal with my students right now. it's just too much for me. And then we would have lunch. And if it on my worst day ever, like it would probably be a lunch in one of the houses with one of the kids that lived there. So the kids that lived there, all teenagers, all had like pretty significant trauma in their lives. Mm-hmm. And just being a teenager, mm-hmm. they were very good at like making you feel like excluded. I just remember like working with one of the girls there, like on homework or something during lunch. And she said something to me and I just remember getting so angry. And I was like feeling very like I couldn't handle the emotions I was feeling or like I wasn't very patient. And then the afternoon would be open, but often I would be, we had different assignments for like working with the kids that were there, or we'd have to like babysit the kids. So then I'd probably be in another kid's house. And a very similar situation would happen, where there wasn't a lot of respect because I was a foreign missionary and I was only there for a summer. So then that would usually be my afternoon. And then I would try to cram in a nap right after that before dinner. And then on a bad day, like I was probably in charge of dinner with, and for those of you that know me, I'm not like the most stellar cook and it stresses me out. And I would probably have to start a fire by myself and I probably, it probably would have, the logs would have been wet. I like wouldn't have been able to do it right. Chances are I would have stepped in an anthill that day and like the bugs would have like bit up my legs. And so I'm just like outraged.
I can totally see a lot of these scenarios happening in my own life.
Yeah. And then just like serving dinner late and then it wasn't good. And it, you know, like you're a teammate, like your job was to make dinner for your team, your missionary team. And then I would probably have to like lesson plan for the next day if I wasn't prepared enough. So then I would stay up late on lesson planning. And then we would try to shower at night, but maybe like at the end of a long day, this actually happened, like at the end of a long day, like if the electricity went out, the water didn't run. And then I remember like a particularly bad day, and I know it was bad because this happened. I like many of those things happened in that day. And I was ready to go to bed and I was exhausted. And it was like one of the first weeks I was there. I was so bad. So I like went to bed and I was like, I'm just exhausted. I can't deal with today anymore. And then I like felt something on my bed. I was like, what is this?
Man.
And I like quick turn on my flashlight. And like, I had not realized that like during the day, I guess like the spiders like made a colony, all by where my head was basically on my bed. And I was so exhausted, like emotionally, physically, and spiritually drained that I like couldn't even clean the spiders. I just like moved my whole body to like the other side of the bed and was like, I can't do it anymore. I'm going to bed because I can't deal with anything.
That is a lot of grit. There's a lot of grit in there.
Well, first of all, I that is interesting that it was having it only be a 3-month experience. Like, I wonder how it would have been different if you were someone who was like moving in or coming for a couple of years. Because I could see, definitely see how there would be maybe less of a like, we're taking you into this community and making you one of our own because of the fact that you were leaving. But also that idea of going on mission, being a missionary, this was kind of like a fulfillment of something you had been anticipating for
years, like probably since high school.
Okay. And you're also just a high achieving person in general. I know, like just thinking of your background too. So were you like valedictorian?
No, I wasn't that smart.
You must have been up there.
I was up there, but okay. I was not valedictorian.
Were you president of something?
I was president of many things at one point in time.
In high school? Just, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got a really good, like pretty prestigious scholarship for undergrad. Were you on a poster?
Yes. Yeah. Were you on a poster?
Yeah, that's a good way of summing you up.
Yeah.
It sounds like, were you also kind of surprised by like realizing these things within yourself?
Totally. Okay. I would say like what you described is pretty accurate. Like it didn't fulfill this like magical dream I had in my head of like what a missionary is, but then also just like, just like constant feeling of inadequacy and just like stark realization of like things I had held as truth, like for most of my life of like, doing this would make me a worthy person or like doing this would complete me somehow. And I remember at one point just like basically falling down in front of the tabernacle and just like weeping bitterly of just like, I feel, and I just remember like, God, I have gone a whole step backwards. I have gone a whole step backwards. And I just remember like hearing a, like a very quiet voice just being like, you didn't take a step backwards. You just opened your eyes. Wow. As a missionary, like there's nowhere to run. Like I had very limited Wi-Fi service. I had like only my community. I had like, I couldn't, like, because of the safety of Honduras, I, like, literally couldn't leave, like, X amount of square feet, square yards of, like, where I was living. And it was just, like, this feeling of, like, here's you, and you have to, like, look at that.
You know, there is certainly something necessary and beautiful about those times. Would you say that it was kind of the first time in your life you felt like you actually really needed grace?
I didn't think then I like knew that I needed grace. I did have like the missionary community that I had there was like very supportive, especially in the times where I was really struggling. I had some core friends and that like really helped like sustain me like during the time I was there.
And then what was it like coming back? So you were coming back also to this new job with the food pantry pretty quickly after you got back?
Yeah, so like within a month, I started a job at the River West Food Pantry, which before I had been like an intern at and I had done like smaller projects on. And again, like there was that general sense of like success of like, okay, working hard, doing well and things like that. And then the job that I had just because of the position that the food pantry was in at the time, I basically took on two jobs of like basically a fundraising director and a communications director, of which I had done neither before in my life. And so I just remember too starting that and like remembering in my brain that like and in my heart that like at the food pantry like I had been a success story just because of the work that I had been put into that. And so like
part of your prestigious program during undergrad was doing this aspect of service.
Yes,
correct. And then that for you led to this job after undergrad.
Yes.
As well. So yeah, some familiarity, but not the same position.
Not the same position, but like I still expected of myself this like highest quality. I just felt like I had been through the ringer, I guess.
Yeah.
For a whole like for 3 months. And so like when I came back, I like very much like threw myself into my work to try to like prove yet again to myself and to others that like what happened in Honduras stays on Honduras. Like I'm not actually a failure. Like I'm still a success. Like I am still like a good person. I'm still, I'm still capable and I'm still like a person that can be loved. Like through my own works basically, which obviously didn't work out. Just like constant failings in my new job. And every time
what felt like failures.
Or what felt like failures
to you.
And so that was just like a constant thing coming back and feeling that I was like that haunting feeling that I was still a failure.
It's really interesting how it was kind of that same mindset that led you to feel like you failed in Honduras was like, maybe then it was you feeling like you needed to have this perfect missionary experience in your job. It was like, okay, now I'm, because that didn't work out almost, I'm going to prove that I'm perfect at this. And what? So it's been about a year since you've gotten back and started your new job, a little over that. Do you think you've been freed from some of that or experienced healing?
I do. I do. I think that it has taken time, like very significant time, more than I anticipated, just to like slowly uncover like all of the things and all the dynamics. I know that the community here at the River West Food Pantry and in River West was extremely crucial for this like time of healing, and not because I shared about Honduras a lot, because I didn't, for those reasons that it was really hard, but like just having them be there with me and just accept me where I'm at, and just like yeah, basically like loving me no matter, even despite or like be, even with like the failings that I found, and just like reminding me that like I didn't have to be so hard on myself. Even at the end of a hard day when like I couldn't put on like a face anymore and I was like exhausted. And just like, yeah, I just come back to this sense of like acceptance and like loving me where I'm at. Even if I was in like not a good place.
Yeah. And so it was the experiencing those people still like still loving you even after you had been through this. I think that's interesting because like you still, you knew a lot of them before going to Honduras and before starting this job, you had, you worked with them during undergrad, but it sounds like what was most healing was realizing that they still did love you and that you still did have this place you were accepted after you had gone through that or while you were in that place of, like, I have nothing to give.
Oh, the mantra of the pantry and just like something we say all the time is like there's like legitimate strengths in our weaknesses and like coming to fully know the humanity part of it, and that like no one is perfect and all of us experience parts of ourselves that we don't like, and that like along with the community and the individual people that I could name that like loved me at, when I was like at my worst, that like general culture of like, whoa, I'm broken too. And that's okay.
Vulnerability and that the belief that knowing your weakness and knowing your own brokenness, that's actually what brings you deeper into relationship. Would you do it again?
Honduras? That's so funny. I've asked myself that a lot. And I think my easy answer is like, would I do it again now? The answer is no. I don't think I'm called to be a missionary to across the seas. I think that I had fooled myself into this idealistic world of a missionary and like what it means to help people or be with people. And for anyone listening, you don't have to go across the sea to meet the poor. You do not have to go far. And I also think too, like looking back at that time of where I was in my life, like I had to go on the mission trip. Like I had to go to Honduras. I had to go be a missionary.
You're because glad you did it.
A year later, I can say I'm glad I did it. I think for two reasons. One is like, if I never went, I don't think I would have learned the reality of what it means to be like a missionary. I think I would have always wished I would have gone or like thought, like still have thought of this like very romanticized vision of like what it meant to be a missionary in a foreign country and like feeling like I wasn't achieving full serving the poor status because I never tried to be a missionary somewhere else. So I think that would have been something that would have been on my heart or at least in my brain. And then the second thing is that I've thought a lot about is like a lot of the, like coming to terms with who I am that happened in Honduras, that happened in 3 months, I think would have happened to me anyways.
Right.
But I think it would have been a much slower realization and a much slower process. I think like 5 years from now, I would have like come to the same place of like recognizing my own weaknesses. But like being on Honduras was like, they called it like the pruner, taking those vines off the, that are like dead. And just like really stripping down.
Those mindsets, those expectations you had.
Right. That I didn't know I was holding onto. I think they all would have been realized later eventually. So
beautiful.
Yep.
Anything else you want the world to know about your story?
About my story. I think that, okay, this one lesson I've learned from this whole year and like from being in Honduras, I think that I want to say is just like, if you're listening out there, just like go easy on yourself. And something that I've really been trying to like come to terms with is that like, we're kind of broken on purpose.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. I think it's worth saying too, because I've seen you do your work. until we were coworkers until a few months ago, and I've been your friend. Despite all of that journey, like, you definitely still were a blessing. Like, I can think of many times you were a blessing to other people, pantry shoppers, and also the volunteer. Like, you still did really good work. You, like, planned fundraisers, and you were still a friend in my life that I was blessed by. Mm. So I think that's worth noting.
That is, thank you for sharing. I think that just proves God's grace. I would not have thought that during that time I would have been
that's crazy
a possible
to
blessing.
So crazy.
Oh, man.
Thanks, everybody. As always, well, kind of not as always. Lately, I've not been really hardcore about social media, but you can find me there, Facebook, Instagram, under I Choose Grit. You can always also go to my blog, ichoosegrit.com, subscribe to follow. That's the best current way to keep track of me right now is on my blog. And reach out to me. I love hearing from you all. And if you're someone who wants to share your story, or you know of someone who you think would be a really great fit, that especially would be awesome to hear at the time. Stay tuned for more. God bless. Bye.